Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Now on the tee.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun
hey.
Of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
Hey there, and welcome to this week's edition of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor alongside Bob Casper, talking golf with you for 20 years. And we've seen a lot of major championships. And Shane Lowry's victory last week at the Open Championship in his native Ireland wasn't tops of all time, but it was a wonderful show of championship golf on an amazing venue and a worthy champion. We'll give you our thoughts looking back, what it means going forward, and welcome a great lineup of guests as well. From Golf Channel, Rex Hoggard will stop by. From RTE Radio in Ireland, we'll welcome back our good friend Greg Allen. And of course, America's favorite caddy, all coming up this week on Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us again. The website, realgolfradio.com. Twitter handle is at Real Golf, and of course, our social media page available at Real Golf Radio as well if you want to hit Instagram, the likes, and we sure appreciate you joining us and accessing us however you choose to do so on any of the podcaster sites and otherwise. And Bob, looking back, here we are just less than a week removed from Shane Lowry's dominating performance there at Royal Port Rush, and I'll tell you what, impressive stuff, a 63 on Saturday. That's the way you handle moving day, and then he handled the pressure of a championship Sunday. Very difficult conditions with real class.
Yeah, the pressure of championship Sunday, no doubt about it. Not only did he have the pressure of having to sleep on the lead, but also, you know, trying to win in Ireland on the island, and you know, in an Open Championship for the first time it's been there in almost 70 years. But add all that together and the weather, and you know what, he played some great golf, shot 72 in the final round plus one when everybody was having a difficult time, and ended up winning by six.
You know, there's a guy that won the Northern Irish Amateur. He won the Irish Amateur. He won the Irish Open as an amateur, and then has since now gone on to win the Open Championship in Ireland. Really, probably, at that point in time, has to be the most decorated Irishman in professional golf and amateur golf alike there on the island of Ireland. Really impressive stuff. Congrats. Hearty congrats go out to Shane Lowry. And, you know, here's the thing, Bob. I have enjoyed watching this man be so excited about his accomplishment. And his family and joining in and just the party. I mean, the guy looks like just a fun dude, huh?
Yeah, he's having a great time. That's what's fun to watch. And he withdrew this week from the WGC event, and he's staying home to party.
Yeah, why not? We'll get into all of it next. Thanks for joining us here. Open recap edition of Real Golf Radio kicks off next. You love crushing the long ball. Well, so do the pros. That's why they play Callaway. And that's why Callaway is now the number one driver on major tours worldwide. Led by the Epic Flash, with Flash Face technology, Callaway used artificial intelligence to completely maximize distance and deliver ball speed you didn't even know was possible. Basically, they used crazy science to solve very important things, like hitting more bombs. What a world. Go own the tee box like the pros. Build your Epic Flash driver today at CallawayGolf.com.
Golf course super.
Listen up, Amazon Prime members. For a limited time, you can start an Audible membership and save 66% on your first 3 months. That's a total of $30 off. That's like getting 3 months for the price of one. You'll pay just $4.95 per month for the first 3 months. After that, it's only $14.95 a month. The offer is valid from now until July 31st. Your audiobooks are yours to keep forever, even if you cancel. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. Audible is a great sidekick for summer activities like sunbathing on the beach, running, road tripping, and a lot more. Listen anytime, anywhere, and never lose your spot when you switch devices. Visit audible.com/fish. That's audible.com/FISH. Or text FISH to 500-500 and get started today. That's audible.com/fish.
The new OGO Alpha Convoy golf bags set a new standard for what cart bags should be.
The new OGO Shadow Fuse 304 stand bag is ultra sleek, but there's nothing simple about it.
The OGO Alpha is inspired by tactical military gear and high-performance equipment from the outdoor industry.
While the Shadow's integrated design and finest performance materials work seamlessly to deliver absolute efficiency for unmatched performance.
Both are in stores now, or check it out at OGO.com.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us here on an open recap edition of Real Golf Radio. This segment brought to you in part by Callaway Golf and the Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X, the ball that changed the ball. Check it out. And Chrome Soft X now available with triple track technology. You can get it online or customize it as well at CallawayGolf.com. Really excited to look back at the Open Championships, Shane Lowry's victory. Again, 15 under par, 67-67 in pretty good conditions, and then 63 in really good conditions, and a 72 in horrific conditions. 15 under par, six shots clear of Tommy Fleetwood, who had to just tip his cap and shake his hand, actually gave him a hug. And, you know, you start to wonder when Tommy Fleetwood's time might come. And then there's Tony Finau once again. You know, again, eight shots back, but, you know, the only finishes solo third, 68, 70, 68, 71. Again, leading the final groups there in his low score on Sunday with a 71 even par. So a guy that plays some good golf, and we'll see what happens there. But we begin with Shane Lowry. And again, not only closing out the 2019 season of major championships, but also closing out this decade of major championships. And we got to talk a little bit about the decade of championships, some of the good ones immediately as we're thinking Open Championships. I go back to Henrik Stenson in 2016. Phil Mickelson nearly got a second. Henrik Stenson and Phil dueling it out. Pretty much it was the two of them, little match play scenario, and Stenson eventually with the win. But man, a lot of drama in that one. This one, not as much drama because Shane Lowry just played that much better than everyone else. However, with the storylines and the emotion and all that went into it, with an Irishman winning when the first return of the Open to the island of Ireland, you know, in some 70 years, it was quite the storylines.
Yeah, it was great. You know, we started the week on Thursday with Rory McIlroy kind of shooting his way out of the tournament. And although he played great on Friday, he still missed the cut by a shot. Graham McDowell just barely made the cut. Padraig Harrington also missed, and so did
Darren Clark.
Darren Clark, yeah. So, you know, the the island guys, basically, so to speak, the guys that were carrying the torch, really didn't play all too well and missed the cut. And Shane Lowry was the guy left in the field other than Graham McDowell who had a chance. And I'll tell you what, he stood up. He played some great golf, shot 15 under par, and got his first career major.
Talking first career majors, the 11th major by a first timer in the last 16 majors. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Six shot
that's pretty good.
Is the largest margin in a major since Martin Kaymer back in 2014 at the PGA. Remember that at Pinehurst when it was pretty much all said and done. Ricky Fowler finishing runner-up in that one, but he was like playing in the B flight compared to what Kaymer had going on. And that's exactly kind of what happened with Shane Lowry here. It's amazing, yeah. Bob. I mean, you know, we'll get Greg Allen's perspective coming up on the back nine hour number two about how Shane Lowry got here. I mentioned in the open his resume in Ireland, but this is a guy that's won a WGC event, but has been struggling a bit, hasn't exactly had his best stuff seemingly, and here he comes out and wins. But it just shows you how good these players are. Get them in a comfortable position. And we talk, Bob, over the years, horses yep. for courses, right?
Yep.
You know, and you get a guy in that's an Irishman, back at a place where he's won an amateur event, back on a place where he's won, you know, many events as an amateur and as a professional. And he just finds himself taking advantage and playing the best golf. So, yeah, would I have expected Rory to be that guy to carry the torch? No doubt about it. But Shane Lowry is certainly capable and worthy and adds his name to the list of guys that you just mentioned that have won opens in the past. And this one, though, I'm telling you, all the other guys, you can't take their claret jugs away from them. No doubt about it. And Patty's got two of them, by the way.
Right.
But you just can't replace that opportunity to win on home soil. Pretty special.
Yeah, it is pretty special. And, you know, when you think about what he was able to do with the, like you said, 67, 67, 63, and then play that final round in gusts up to 35 miles an hour of wind and rainy. You know, they teed off early. They teed off at 7:32 a.m. And the final group went off at 1:47. And they were pretty much in the teeth of it. And for him to start with a bogey, and then be able to turn it around and finish from that point on at even par for the day. So, you know, shooting that 72, one over par, pretty good.
And that putt was
see that 15 under par there.
Yeah, that putt at the first was a big one.
Fleetwood, it was a huge one.
Fleetwood missed
from 8 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could have been easily a three-shot swing, and it could have tightened some things up a little bit, and maybe the doubts could have started creeping in. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you know, what a performance, as you said. Bob, normally I find myself – I guess I find myself rooting a little bit for the stars to do well in these major championships.
Right.
It feels to me like having the cream rise to the top, that there's all the storylines. You have all the anticipation – leading into it, everyone talking about these names, and typically there's big things to happen, like Brooks Koepka this week. You know, the fact that he's gone 2-1-2, and what might he do in history? And Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major in 5 years, and you know, a lot of these big names. You know, what would Tiger do? You know, Tiger's saying that the Open, you know, might be his best chance to win majors these days, which I don't know that he'll be saying that anymore. But that's what we've heard from him in the past, and you know, we'd wonder, you know, would Jordan Spieth find something? You know. Ricky Fowler is, you know, oftentimes we pick him to win at one of these major venues. And so while it wasn't those guys, you know, oftentimes if it's like Martin Kaymer, for instance, I was not a big fan of the Martin Kaymer PGA Championship.
Yep.
It was boring. And Martin Kaymer is, sorry, he doesn't play an exciting brand of golf. And so typically I look at that and I go, oh, way to ruin the party, Martin Kaymer. And yeah. I look, no disrespect to Martin. I mean, look, hats off, man. The guy's won major championships. Phenomenal career. But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely.
But in this case, even though I'm not a Shane yep. Lowry fan, and he's not one of the big stars, how could you not be excited and root for that? I think that's what's unique. It's that this was able to grab me without necessarily having the star power, if you will.
Well, I think the reason it grabbed you is because, first of all, it's back in Ireland. Second of all, Shane Lowry's playing. Third of all, the people are receiving him extremely well and cheering yeah. and everything for him. And he's playing some phenomenal golf, shooting that 63 in the third round and then watching him in those elements, how he maneuvered the ball. I love the shot he hit into 16 where he hit that low kind of stinger iron up there that ended up just short of the green. And, you know, and he is able to get the ball in the fairway and to be able to finish this thing out. And I thought it was great. Now, as far as the firepower and the guys that, you know, the top guys, you know, you still got to give the props to Brooks Koepka because he finished at 6 under par and tied for fourth. And he's one of only four guys now that have finished in the top five in all four majors in a single season. Jordan Spieth did it. Ricky Fowler did it. Tiger Woods did it a couple of times. And Jack Nicklaus did it a couple of times. So, you know, we had some guys there that looked like they were going to have a chance, but they couldn't get it done. And Shane Lowry was able to stretch it out on Saturday with that 63.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, I think I'm going to blame or credit, however you want to look at it. I'm going to credit Brooks Koepka with me being excited about Shane Lowry winning the Open Championship. And here's why. Sorry, Brooks. I know what you're doing is impressive. I appreciate it. You've got my admiration. But when you win a major championship and you sit down afterwards and talk about how it's just another day at the office, it doesn't resonate with me. I'm sorry. It doesn't resonate with me. If I had an opportunity to win an Open Championship or a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship, I would be out of my mind. I would look like Shane Lowry and his dad after he won the Open. That's why this one resonated with me because of what you did, Brooks Koepka, the last few times, or lacked thereof the last few times, in the celebration and seemingly appreciation of what you did and what you accomplished. Now look, you can celebrate, you be you, and you celebrate winning however you want. However, from a fan's perspective, I was much more attracted to the way Shane Lowry just absolutely just appreciated and celebrated. Thank you. Embraced the moment and what he was able to accomplish. That drew me in as a fan. And I'll tell you what, I love Shane Lowry right now. I love that guy, and his social media celebrations he's had since in the pubs in Ireland have been fantastic. And so from that standpoint, it made me a big fan, made this one of my favorite majors, and I'll be rooting for Shane Lowry unless it's a Ryder Cup moment and he's on the other team. But I'll be rooting for Shane Lowry going forward. So hats off. Well done, sir. All right, we got to take a short break. When we come back, the caddy joins us. We'll bring him in on the conversation as well. Looking back at a historic Open Championship, Shane Lowry the champ. Stay tuned.
Hi, it's Ned Siegfried. Siegfried & Jensen has been around a long time. We've been handling injury cases for over 30 years. During this time, Siegfried & Jensen has had the privilege of helping tens of thousands of Utahns. If you've had the misfortune of being injured in an accident, we'd love to help you as well. To talk to us for free about your situation, call us at 801-222-2222 or visit us at SiegfriedJensen.com.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at ZionsBank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA member FDIC.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant.
I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
Tee it up at Uinta Golf with their sizzling summer savings specials. Look for hot deals on items like TaylorMade TP5 Pix golf balls, now two dozen for only $80. Cleveland CBX wedges for only $99.99. That's a $30 savings. And save up to $200 on Rogue Irons. Just a few of the hot specials you'll find now at Uinta Golf Shop's sizzling summer savings. Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1970.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. This segment brought to you by Odyssey, the number one putter in golf. With the new Stroke Lab technology, more players are switching to Odyssey. And in fact, Odyssey has been the number one putter at every major championship played this season, including wielded by the winner of the Open himself.
Shane Lowry.
Oh, wait a minute. They don't have the naming rights. You can't drop that, Bob. You just have to figure
it
out.
Well, I just did, because everybody knows.
I guess
he's the Open winner.
I guess that's the case. Yes. The XO2 ball, Stroke Lab.
Yep. There you go.
It's a new twist on an old classic. Check it out at odysseygolf.com. It's time for America's favorite caddy.
There are bag rats. And then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is. The Caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Caddy joining us right now on Real Golf Radio. Caddy, how many putters do you have in your bag?
One.
Set him up for that one.
Like more humans.
Well, one. Right. But okay, so how many putters do you have in the rotation?
One.
For how long?
Probably junior year of college.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Brian's got three.
Just this month.
Yep. Just this month.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Bob. I did go out and had 27 putts in my last round with my Palm Beach Toulon Stroke Lab putter. So, yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what, I was putting on a putting clinic. Should have been a really good score.
I can tell you guys that Fred Funk once told me, he said, I cleaned out my garage and I donated all my putters. He goes, how many do you think there were? And I said, I don't know. And he said, 178.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Did he donate them to junior golf or what?
I don't know, but whoever he donated them to can probably retire now. So,
178 putters.
I was going to guess like 60.
Bob, you know what? Not one of them looked good, did they? Not one of them looked good anymore.
That's right.
Not one. Yeah. We have issues, us golfers. We have issues.
Yeah, they can work really well for a while, but man, sometimes you don't have a good day and something else starts looking a little bit better. But
or you change the grip.
Well, sometimes you got to do that too.
Well, the grip's the deadly part, isn't it? You're just playing fire when you change that putter grip. Oh, my.
Well, I got it working right now, just in time. Club championship coming up around the corner, so I've got that going for me, which is good. Hey, I'll tell you what, we mentioned that Shane Lowry was rolling it. Boy, he was doing everything well last week. Big six-shot victory. Just awesome playing by Shane Lowry, and he's you know, the Open champion golfer of the year right there in his home island of Ireland. Pretty awesome stuff last week. What was your overall impressions of how the Open played out?
Well, Shane just laid a little year 2000 Tiger Woods on the field. I mean, that was ridiculous how well he played. Crazy good round Saturday. He played incredibly tough Sunday. He played one of the best rounds Sunday. The late one over was almost unequaled. I mean, it was just crazy. And my favorite part was how he was so open about how nervous and worried he was. And that was phenomenal. You never hear a guy say that.
No, you don't. You don't hear him say that, and yet, you know, it's that old adage that, you know, you don't know what they're dealing with underneath. But I'll tell you what, he sure looked calm and collected.
Yeah, he handled it great, didn't he? I mean, wow. I just you couldn't be more impressed with that. And then doing it at home. You're going to assume that's more difficult than not. Most of the time, that doesn't work out very well. You know, who knows? Maybe he drew energy from that support and this and that. But generally, that just adds to the pressure, which is, you know, probably didn't help Rory McIlroy's first round. So,
yeah, certainly. We talked about that. That's 63 on Saturday. 63 is, you know, that's the magic number, really, when it comes to major championships, and it seems like we're seeing a whole lot more of it lately.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, yeah. Bob, here's an interesting idea, Bob, for you. Are there really more good golfers now than there used to be, or is it just that the equipment makes everybody play a lot better, easier?
Huh. That's an interesting question.
I know the equipment makes everybody play a lot better, easier. There's no question about that. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But are there really, I mean, you know, you always hear people say that. Oh, yeah, the players are so much better than they used to be. And that's really true? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you think about the eras, there's always been like two or three guys that have really stood out at certain times and that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot more in today's game right now that stand out as far as playing and winning major championships.
Oh, come on. You guys can't cheapen it and say that the guys today are benefiting from the equipment and that's why they're so good. They're benefiting from the equipment. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't, I mean, that's across the board. It's not as if somebody burst onto the scene with some magic wand that the rest of the field didn't have available to them. For instance, like when players were switching from steel shaft to graphite shafts in their drivers or something like that. I mean, this era of technology has been well established. These kids grew up that way. So I'm not sure that it's a fair argument. I think it's absolutely true that equipment benefit. Today's equipment benefits more golfers, including the best in the world. They hit it better, but I don't think it necessarily defines that they are any different or any less good, if you will, because they have equipment versus the guys that were hitting, you know, straight blades back in the day.
I'm going to disagree, and here's why.
Okay.
Bob, when you miss the green and you had an old 56-degree wedge and you had to get it up and down. And then you give everybody a square groove 60-degree wedge. Don't you think the guy who wasn't that good can still get it up and down almost as good as the guy who's skilled? So, in other words, the equipment disproportionately raises the ability level of the average player. I'm talking tour level. And it doesn't – the primo players don't get the same benefit, relatively speaking, as the average guys do. In other words, I think, you know, that clubs that are easier, that you can miss and get away with, benefit someone who's not as good as someone who's really good. I think that's a pretty – that's kind of hard to argue that. I mean, if you're really good at hitting the ball solid and you get a club that helps your misses, it doesn't help you that much more. But if you miss a lot of shots, and it helps you a lot, it helps you a whole lot more.
But how are you going to quantify who's hitting poor shots and who's hitting great shots out there? These guys are all really good.
Yeah, they are. They all are really good, but they were all really good 30 years ago, too. And they were all really good 50 years ago. So I just think there's an argument to be at least investigated, which is, why is it that so many more guys can win now? Is it because so many guys are good, or because so many more guys can win because of equipment?
Are you bringing this discussion up because Shane Lowry won and he wasn't one of the favorites coming in, or what's your angle on this?
I think Shane Lowry would have been a better, more successful player with the old school equipment, because I think he's got that kind of hand, those kind of hands and that kind of ability.
Mm.
I actually think Shane would have had a more, you know, he's doing great, but I think in an earlier era, I think he would have done even better. I think he's got that kind of talent. So I've been able to watch him up close quite a bit. He's got some of the best hands you've ever seen. He's really good.
Yeah, Greg Allen joined us and, you know, from Radio Ireland, and he talked about how Shane's just a natural player. You know, he's just one of those guys that's just kind of not a lot of, you know, swing coach, you know, technical, you know, rigid stuff. He's just naturally a good player.
No doubt about it. That's exactly what Shane is. He just looks like he's just one of those guys who just was meant to play golf. So, yeah.
Who else were you impressed with last week?
Who else was I impressed with last week?
Tommy Fleetwood finished second at 9-under. Then you got Tony Finau shooting even par in the last round and finishing third. Lee Westwood, Brooks Koepka tied for fourth.
So, couple thoughts. I thought Westwood played great considering he was yipping putts, and he still finished that well. That's impressive. Tony Finau, you know, he's becoming kind of a play good all the time kind of a guy. Hopefully he'll start winning all the time. I was really impressed with Rory McIlroy's Friday performance. I mean, what a great comeback. It's not easy to do that, and he almost made the cut. That would have been a spectacular achievement. Who am I missing here? You just mentioned somebody who I wanted to bring up.
Brooks Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood.
Nope. Keep going. Who am I missing?
Ricky Fowler, tied for sixth.
Nope.
Molinari shooting 5-under par in the final round, tied for 11th.
Nope. I've got, not only am I a grumpy old man today, but I'm also, you know, an old man today in other ways, such as memory, apparently. Just one of those days, guys. One of those days.
Well, it's pretty impressive what Brooks ended up, 2-1-2-4. That's pretty darn good, you know. I mean, if you add that up, you've got, 11?
These go to 11. You know, Brooks is, it looked like...
9, sorry. Shorten him.
Like he didn't make a putt, that's for sure. I mean, that's all he was... I think Brooks probably feels like he should have been close to winning that tournament. But if he had made every putt, he's still a long ways away from where Shane was. I don't think you can say enough about that performance by Shane. I mean, that was legendary. That was just ridiculous. And he played so well. All the clutch holes were something could have. But I'll tell you what. Here's how golf swings, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody's going to remember this, but when Justin Thomas won the PGA at Charlotte, at Quail Hollow, on the first hole, Justin hit it in. He hit a short iron in the right bunker, which was not where you wanted to put it, like a 9-iron. Terrible shot. He blasted it out 15 feet by. Maruyama hit it in there about 10 feet. Justin made the putt, and Maruyama missed. And then Justin buried a 30-footer on the next hole, and he was off and running, and he won the PGA.
Yep.
That kind of happened on the very first hole when Fleetwood – and did we discuss this? No, we didn't.
No.
Fleetwood had that birdie putt, and Shane had a long two putt for bogey, and he left it about 8 feet short. So Fleetwood misses, and then Shane not only made the putt, but he buried the putt. And I think that made all the difference. I think if he misses that putt and Fleetwood makes it, I think Fleetwood wins the tournament, believe it or not. That's what I think. That's how crazy a game golf can be. I think one little thing like that, and it's a momentum thing. And Shane did actually mention that to some degree. Well,
yeah, a lot of times that's all it takes.
That's all it takes is one little thing can just flip the switch. And it's interesting to see that. And I remember when Justin Thomas made that putt, I was like, that's going to win him the tournament right there. So it was the first hole on Sunday, and Maruyama had the lead. I'm like, oh, okay, he just won the tournament. It's weird how you could, that stuff happens, though. You see it a lot. It's just like momentum switch or something and sets the pace for the day.
It is a weird thing, no doubt about it. Well, Caddy, good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We didn't get to you on our decade of majors, but we'll catch up with you on that one another time. Thanks for joining us, bud.
We'll just have to wait another decade. Thank you.
There you go. That's a Caddy joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Stay tuned. More of our open recap edition of the show continues next.
Callaway's new Apex irons redefine players' irons. Unmatched feel, distance, and control have been forged to perfection to deliver category-defining performance. Apex irons are the ultimate forged player's distance iron. Callaway's 360 face cups generate industry-leading distance, unmatched feel, and will get every golfer's attention. Tungsten weighting in each iron fine-tunes launch, trajectory, and delivers tremendous control. See perfection in every shot with the new Apex at your local golf retailer or visit CallawayGolf.com and see what makes Callaway the number one irons in golf.
The new OGO Alpha Convoy golf bags set a new standard for what cart bags should be.
The new OGO Shadow Fuse 304 stand bag is ultra sleek, but there's nothing simple about it.
The OGO Alpha is inspired by tactical military gear and high-performance equipment from the outdoor industry.
While the Shadow's integrated design and finest performance materials work seamlessly to deliver absolute efficiency for unmatched performance.
Both are in stores now, or check it out at OGO.com.
Your hands, with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
What kind of golf ball are you playing? The one you've always played or the one that can actually help you perform better? Because Chrome Soft is the only ball with a graphene-infused dual soft fast core to give you the unheard-of combination of crazy long distance that's also incredibly soft. It's why tour guys like Phil Mickelson, Xander Schauffele, and Francesco Molinari keep winning with it. And now Chrome Soft X is available with triple track technology for improved alignment. Get the ball that changed the ball today at CallawayGolf.com.
We just changed the putter. Now you need to change yours. A multi-material shaft enabled a radical shift in weight distribution, resulting in a putter designed to improve your actual stroke. Because a better stroke helps make more putts. This is a stroke of genius. Stroke Lab from Odyssey, the number one putter in golf.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You've started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, hey, welcome back. Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to the caddy for stopping by. Good to visit with him. He was a little bit of a interesting mood. Took the direction a little bit differently than what we anticipated. But hey, I don't know if I want to go down that whole discussion. To me, that's a big rabbit hole on the equipment side.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, so, like, are baseballs more juice now than they used to be? And, you know, I mean...
They're talking that whole thing right now again.
What's that?
Exactly. They're talking that whole thing right now again.
Well,
with the baseball.
It'll always be that way because baseball, in a lot of ways, like golf, is, you know, what can you do about the, when guys are just bigger, faster, stronger, they're hitting the ball further, throwing the ball faster, so it's coming off the bat faster, you know, and going further. I mean, there's just, what do you do? We can't make ballparks bigger. These ballparks are historic. Same thing with our golf courses. They're historic. There's only certain things you can do to try to account for the distance and things like that. But look, I don't know, man. I mean, the guys are all playing today with what they got. They're going head to head. This guy and that guy, they both have the same technology at their disposal. So clearly one guy is better than the other if he's beating him, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, like I said, it's a big rabbit hole if you want to go down. But bottom line, these kids grew up playing the technology. They benefited from technology. The game benefits from technology, in my opinion, because we can all play the game a little bit better. And I think that's good. It's a tough game. It's tough.
I agree with you.
Rory McIlroy missed the cut, for crying out loud. It's not, golf's not easy. Is that what you're trying to say, Caddy? Golf's not easy. Ask Rory.
It is not.
Ask Rory. All right, yeah. Let's talk about some of these other guys. We kind of went down the road a little bit. We got to talk about the decade of majors too, because that's been fun as we've getting ready for the show, looking back at some of our favorite majors from the last 10 years. But we mentioned Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, Bob. I mean, look, Tommy Fleetwood shoots 63 in the final round of the U.S. Open a year ago. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of game. He obviously was tremendous in the Ryder Cup. Here he goes and finishes runner-up at the Open Championship. He's the guy that we talk about, but never really seriously as the winner. But we always have his name that, you know, that guy's going to be in the mix in this type of a tournament. Guys, I mean, he's a little guy with a lot of game, just really a tremendous ball striker, huh?
He is a tremendous ball striker, and he's had two runners-up in 18 major starts. The other one was, like you said, when he shot 63 in the final round and finished in the 2018 Open, there at second. You know, he played some great golf too, 68, 67, 66. In those first three rounds, he only posted two bogeys. And then in the final round, when he shot 74, he had four bogeys. But I'll tell you what, when he missed that putt on the first hole from about 8 to 10 feet, when Shane Lowry was putting for bogey, that could have really set things up for him to have a chance to win the championship. But he missed the putt, man, and Shane Lowry made it. And in doing that, it really put the emphasis and the momentum in Shane Lowry's court.
You know, if he'd been playing in that final group with an American, he probably rolls that putt in.
He probably would have made it.
I'm just saying, you know, there's a time when those European players just roll in putts, and it's usually against an American. So, you know, coming in third at 277, eight shots back, but just two back of second is Tony Finau, 68-71 on the weekend. Really good playing. Tony there again. Well, you know, look, we didn't necessarily, we talk about Tony a lot. He's from our hometown here. He's a good friend of ours. We've watched him and known him since he's grown up. But didn't talk about Tony coming into the Open as much as we usually do. Going into the Masters, we talked about Tony a lot. There's golf courses that tend to favor Tony's game. It's hard to know about Royal Port Rush because we hadn't really seen it. But It didn't seem that this type of golf would suit his game, and yet the last 2 years he's shown well in the Open Championship at Carnoustie, now this year at Royal Port Rush.
Yeah, well, and remember, Tony, he had three events where he missed the cut. He didn't play well in the middle two majors after finishing, fifth at the Masters. But, you know, here he is again coming into the Open Championship, and he just played some really good, consistent golf with the 68, 70, 68, and then 71 in the final round, even par. In those last groups, he was the low guy, man. He shot even par when everybody else was shooting over par. But, you know, this was his best finish in a major in the 15 that he's played, a third-place finish. And, it, you know, now he has six top tens in major championships, and including three top fives. So when you're talking about somebody that can play in the scrutiny of a major championship on a big golf course and under some pressure, Tony Finau continues to show us that he likes that stage, and I think he'll have an opportunity, more than one opportunity in the future, to continue to show well in majors, contend in majors, and have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting himself there. That's the key, right? You got to put yourself there and give yourself a chance. The opportunities are there. Here's hoping that he's going to find a way to start closing the deal a little bit more frequently. Again, a guy that just got, with all the close, I guess, calls he's had, still just the one PGA Tour win. And that was in Puerto Rico. So he's definitely got, it's a double-edged sword. You look at it and you say, God, the guy keeps putting himself there, but he's not winning. Well, but he's putting himself there.
Yep.
That's the first key, right? It's tough to win out there. It's tough. But you put yourself consistently in the mix, you know, major after major, big event after big event, and you're doing something right. Hopefully the week comes where it all comes together and falls in line and you end up with the, you know, hoisting the trophy at the end of the week. But, sometimes that doesn't happen. Point is the more and more comfortable you get with being there, seemingly the better chance you have of winning the next one. Huh?
That's exactly right. You know, and it takes a learning period, a growth period, a lot of times for a lot of players to be able to get themselves into position to feel comfortable about winning. I think this kid thrives on pressure. He has shown that he can play under pressure, and I think it's just a matter of time before he wins golf tournaments and before he wins a major championship.
Yeah, really good stuff. What about Brooks? You mentioned him briefly earlier, but your thoughts on Brooks and being one of the top five players to finish top five in major championships in a single season, 2-1-2-4, pretty darn good, huh?
Yeah, 2-1-2-4 is really, really good. And the only other one in the last little bit was Jordan Spieth in 2015 when he went 1-1-4-2. No, 1-1-4, what? Yeah, 1-1-4-2. So, we've seen two guys in the last, 5 years that have really stepped it up and played some great golf in the major championships. And it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing what Koepka's been able to do, how he's been able to win the U.S. Open back-to-back and the PGA Championship back-to-back and be right there every time in those major championships when it almost seems like he doesn't like the regular tour events that much.
Well, let me just throw this in there because we're not going to see Koepka again until April. Because that's when majors start up again. So how sustainable is this for Koepka? Because as you mentioned Jordan Spieth, perfect example. Boy, in 2015, it looked like he was just getting started. And in fact, that may, at least for the time being, has been the pinnacle of what Jordan's been able to do.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. Jordan Spieth is still young. You got to remember that. Players go through slumps in their life. And I think Jordan Spieth will be back. He's too good of a player not to. As far as Brooks Koepka is concerned, he's got the tiger by the tail right now. And because of that, he walks on that practice tee and he's got the machismo going and especially at a major championship. And he just has a way of willing himself around a golf course and knowing that he's going to play well in a major championship. I commend him for it because I think it's pretty cool to watch him play.
Couple other notes that I think it's worth mentioning, Bob. You got Danny Willett. Boy, that guy disappeared after winning the Masters.
Yeah.
And he's starting to show back up on leaderboards. Ricky Fowler with a T6 finish right there with Hatton and Danny Willett and others. Patrick Reed, another guy that sort of disappeared after winning the Masters. So a couple of Masters champs that were on top of the world and disappeared, making their way back inside a top 10 in a major championship. Hats off to Molinari, who fought back to tie for 11th. But the other guy that's tied for 11th I wanted to bring up is Justin Thomas. Again, had a bit of an injury, cost him the U.S. Open, but or is it the PGA Championship? Cost him the PGA Championship. But it looks like he's maybe finding something. So just looking at kind of some trends, perhaps, of some of those players, huh?
Yeah, and he played a nice round of golf, a one over par round of golf in the last round as well.
So there you go. That's a look at some of the players that I think stood out to me there on the leaderboard. All right, we'll take a short break. Hour number one just about to wrap up. Still got a great back nine. Hour number two ready for you as well. Keep it tuned. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Hi, I'm Brent Brown. When I opened Brent Brown Toyota in 1999, I never dreamed that in 2016 we'd be Utah's number one volume new car dealership. And in early 2017, when we became the number one Metro Toyota dealership in the entire United States in customer loyalty, you can imagine how proud I was of my team. Simply put, no other dealer in Utah, or in the entire region for that matter, has as many repeat customers as Brent Brown Toyota in Orem. At Brent Brown Toyota, bending over backwards isn't just a slogan, it's our mission. And just because you get our low prices doesn't mean you have to give up on great service after the sale. In fact, people drive from all over Utah and beyond to get our incredible deals, and then they send their friends and family. You don't become number one in the nation by taking advantage of people and then never seeing them again. Excellence both during and after the sale is what keeps our customers coming back again and again. That's probably why Time Magazine recently selected us as the Quality Dealer of the Year for Utah. So if it's time to buy a new car, why not buy from the best? Brent Brown Toyota in Orem.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA, member FDIC.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us again. Thanks to the caddy who joined us this hour. Still to come on the back nine. Hour number two, we'll welcome in our good friend from our RTE Radio in Ireland, Greg Allen, for a recap on how the country is still buzzing and what he expects going forward for Shane Lowry. Rex Hoggard, golfchannel.com, joins us as well. He's in Memphis for the WGC event, and he'll give us his take looking back at the Open Championship, having just returned from Ireland. You know, we've been talking about some of the players that played well and some trends and things that we can expect. Some of the trends not so good. Let me mention Justin Rose right off the bat. Again, that guy was right there in contention and shoots 79 in the final round. Bob, that's two majors in a row that he's been right there and had really tough Sundays.
Yeah, and that's not something that you normally see out of Justin Rose. He's too consistent a player. He hits, strikes the ball extremely well and putts really well. But when his putter goes cold, he has a difficult time.
Jordan Spieth plus 677. You know, again, still just sort of that hot and cold. You wonder, though, if he's starting to find some stuff and maybe gets trending a little bit, although quite a struggle in the WGC this week.
It seems like the putter's coming around. He's putting better. It's the long game now that he's struggling with.
All right, let's talk about a guy that really dropped some spots and to the tune of 64, and that's J.B. Holmes, who shot 16 over par. Bob, that's an 87. We were sort of getting on David Duval for shooting 91 in the opening round, but that's a guy that won the Open Championship some 18 years ago. J.B. Holmes was right in the mix before this debacle.
Yeah. Yeah, he was right in the mix, and he played with Brooks Koepka in the final round. Brooks Koepka was getting pretty perturbed about J.B. Holmes and his slow play and that kind of thing. He even said as much to a rules official that was with him, pointing to his watch as he was walking off a green because J.B. Holmes was taking too long. But unfortunately, he was taking long because he was hitting it a lot of times.
Well, look, if you're going to shoot 87, you got to at least play fast. Make it a quick 87, JB, not a slow 87. And you're right, that slow play, the way JB goes about his business is certainly something that we can talk about and is a problem in professional golf on the PGA Tour. All right, that'll do it for hour number one. Stay tuned. The back nine is next.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Undeterred by a new Fox News poll that shows 48% of voters want Democrats to spend less time investigating President Trump, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Democrat from New York, Jerry Nadler, says full steam ahead.
We will continue to seek testimony from key fact witnesses. As many of you know, the committee has authorized several additional subpoenas. Our work will continue into the August recess, and we will use those subpoenas if we must. Finally, today, we are filing an application for the grand jury material underlying the Mueller report.
A merger between T-Mobile and Sprint is being approved by the Justice Department. The $26 billion deal will combine T-Mobile, which is America's third-largest wireless carrier, with Sprint, the fourth-largest. T-Mobile and Sprint agreed to spin off billions of dollars in key assets to get the deal done. This is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes from Washington has a look at the latest economic news out today.
The nation's economic growth rate slowing a bit in the year's second quarter, but not by as much as analysts had forecast we'd see in this latest report from the Commerce Department. It says GDP growth from April through June was 2.1%, down from 3.1% in the first quarter. Analysts were expecting to see a growth rate of just 1.8%, which would have been the slowest in over 2 years.
Acting ICE Director Matt Albans tells Fox News that Congress is responsible for the inhumane conditions at many border detention facilities.
We've been asking Congress for years to fund our detention at the levels that we need, and they've failed to do so. If they had funded us at the 52,000 beds that we had requested in FY19, you would not see those conditions in the Border Patrol facilities right now.
Albans also says they will continue to do the best they can at the border. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
A new study came out from the Anti-Defamation League that says 65% of people have experienced severe harassment when playing video games online. Now, to be fair, 88% of people surveyed in that same study also say they've experienced some positive interaction while they've played video games online. I had a chance to catch up with Julie Miner. She's an adjunct professor of global and community health at George Mason University, and one of the things we talk about is how video games have changed throughout the years.
Probably the best way to look at it is this perception we have of gamers as being sort of socially isolated basement dwellers, right? That they just get on the box and they just play and they're interacting with the game. it's not necessarily true. Most of the popular games, the most highly sold games in the U.S. in the past 4 or 5 years are all multiplayer. So in addition to the technological changes around them in terms of development and immersiveness and artwork and programming, the social nature of play is one of the things that really draws people to them and draws our kids to them. So even if they're playing video games in their house, they're interacting with their friends. They're collaborating with their friends on the game. And that's, I think, something that most parents don't realize, is that that social nature of play is a really important and integral part of why our kids now are so drawn to them.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
The second nine, the finishing holes, the closing stretch. It starts now. Here's the back nine, our number two of Real Golf Radio. With the steady stripe it down the middle, make every putt because it's in your blood, Bob Casper, and that better lucky than good handled dragon flipper, Brian Taylor. Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome in, hour number two, the back nine of Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Once again, the website's realgolfradio.com, Twitter handle at Real Golf, and of course, you can catch us on any of our podcast sites, social media sites, Real Golf Radio. Just search for us there. Thanks for accessing the show. And of course, special welcome to those of you tuning in and joining us on Sirius XM 211, the Dan Patrick channel. Pleased to have you on board. Still to come this hour, we'll welcome in our good friend from RTE Radio in Ireland, Greg Allen, will give us a recap and how the country is still a-buzzing over Shane Lowry's victory at the Open Championship. Plus, from golfchannel.com, Rex Hoggard will stop by. He's in Memphis of this week's WGC event. We'll check in with him, and as he has returned from Royal Port Rush and the Open Championship, and kind of get his thoughts on that. Plus, the players return quickly to action at a WGC event coming off a week, brutal, tough test week at the Open Championship in Ireland. Hats off, of course, to Shane Lowry on the victory, and I'll tell you what, his first major, second on the PGA Tour in his 93rd career tour start at the age of 32. And again, going back to it, Bob, here's another guy. The Open Championship really does tend to favor the older player, and I don't know if it's just experience or just happenstance, but you know, you start looking back on it, and I'll tell you what, the older guys got to relish their opportunity to win the claret jug.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times it's you know, it's having the maturity of playing a lot of golf and competing in major championships as well as WGCs and PGA Tour and European Tour events. It's feeling comfortable with your game, especially in the environment of links style golf and that kind of thing. And it can go, you know, we talk about all the top players in the world and who's favored and that kind of thing going into majors and that kind of thing. This is an event where somebody wins it that a lot of times is not somebody that's one of the top players in the world. But Shane Lowry really proved that he can play and play well on these types of golf courses.
Talk about some of the best players in the world. He wins by 6 strokes. He's the fourth player to win a major by 5 or more strokes since 2000, joining Tiger Woods, who, by the way, did it 4 times. Rory McIlroy's done it twice. Martin Keimer did it at the 2014 U.S. Open, and Louis Oosthuizen in the old course at St. Andrews back in 2010. So, again, hats off. An impressive victory by Shane Lowry, and just really good stuff. Also joins Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen, Arnold Palmer, Johnny Miller, Tiger Woods, and Louis Oosthuizen as players to win the Open by 6 shots or more in the last 100 years. So, again, good company is Shane Lowry in after hoisting the claret jug at Royal Portrush. We'll get into all of that next, plus a decade of majors when we return right here on Real Golf Radio. You love crushing the long ball. Well, so do the pros. That's why they play Callaway. And that's why Callaway is now the number one driver on major tours worldwide. Led by the Epic Flash, with Flash Face technology, Callaway used artificial intelligence to completely maximize distance and deliver ball speed you didn't even know was possible. Basically, they used crazy science to solve very important things, like hitting more bombs. What a world. Go own the tee box like the pros. Build your Epic Flash driver today at CallawayGolf.com.
Listen up, Amazon Prime members. For a limited time, you can start an Audible membership and save 66% on your first 3 months. That's a total of $30 off. That's like getting 3 months for the price of one. You'll pay just $4.95 per month for the first 3 months. After that, it's only $14.95 a month. The offer's valid from now until July 31st. Your audiobooks are yours to keep forever, even if you cancel. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. Audible is a great sidekick for summer activities like sunbathing on the beach, running, road tripping, and a lot more. Listen anytime, anywhere, and never lose your spot when you switch devices. Visit audible.com/fish. That's audible.com/FISH. Or text FISH to 500-500 and get started today. That's audible.com/FISH.
We just changed the putter. Now you need to change yours. A multi-material shaft enabled a radical shift in weight distribution, resulting in a putter designed to improve your actual stroke. Because a better stroke helps make more putts. This is a stroke of genius. Stroke Lab, from Odyssey, the number one putter in golf.
At the First Tee, we believe a good grip can be the foundation for success both on and off the golf course. We don't just teach golf, we teach life skills and help drive young people to be the next generation of great mentors. To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
Big Bertha. It's an iconic name, some of the longest and straightest clubs in all of golf. Well, now, the legend just got even easier to hit. The new Big Bertha irons from Callaway are powered by a suspended energy core, a totally new construction to deliver easy launch, long, consistent distance with incredible sound and feel. This is by far Callaway's easiest to launch distance iron ever. Get big time distance now. Experience Big Bertha irons today at your local golf shop or at CallawayGolf.com.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. This segment brought to you by Callaway Golf. Hey, how do you become the number one driver on major tours worldwide? You engineer the Epic Flash using artificial intelligence to deliver unheard of ball speed. Own the tee box like the pros and build your Epic Flash driver today at CallawayGolf.com. And thanks for joining us. Look forward to a great hour here as we welcome in our good friend Greg Allen from RTE Radio, also Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel, all still to come. But, you know, again, Bob, we start talking about some of the things that Shane Lowry did. Really just crazy good stuff by the way he played and joining some of those list of players we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. But how about the fact when you're starting to pick who might win the Open Championship, you mm-hmm. look to a guy in Shane Lowry who missed the last 4 cuts at the Open?
Yeah, hey, that's pretty amazing. Crazy.
It's really remarkable. You miss 4 straight cuts, and then you go on and win by 6 shots.
Well, you know, and the thing is we've seen many, many players that have a difficult time, you know, missing a cut the week before and then going on to win the tournament, missing cuts the week before a major, going on to win a major. I mean, the things that happen with these guys and what they're able to figure out and what they're able to learn about their games, just one small thing can change the whole outlook for them.
I think that's why when guys like Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, guys go on runs, I think that's why it's so impressive, because they're able to sustain it over a period of time. Nevertheless, I think for all of the reasons we mentioned, Shane Lowry right there at the top and his major, I don't mean at the top, but right there with the memorable majors over the last decade. And, you know, we've kind of been teasing this, Bob, but a decade of majors, you think about 2010 through 2019. Mm-hmm. Well, you go back to 2010 and, you know, yeah, Tiger wasn't winning majors back then. His last one was in 2008 before picking up the Masters this year. So he does get one in this decade, but boy, there's, you know, just some really, really good ones. I guess because it's so relevant and the historical nature of major number 15, I guess you have to start with Tiger this year at the Masters, don't you?
I think you do, especially from the standpoint of where he's been, you know, with all the back surgeries, the microdiscectomies, and also the fusing, you know, his health, that kind of thing. I think definitely Tiger Woods would be the number one on my list as far as majors and the excitement of watching a major championship unfold and a guy winning the golf tournament.
You know, I won't forget being there and having the opportunity to see him. We've been there on site for, I think, were you there in 97 when he won also?
I was not.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so you and I both, I think, have caught all the other ones from the 2001, 2002, 2005, and now 2015. So really, really cool to be there and to be able to sit there in the press conference after, ask him some questions, and just really just see it all unfold. And it was very, very difficult to try to get a glimpse of him because it was so deep with the galleries, and they don't give the media any special access out there. And so, but just to be out there, I had to go out there and just listen. Yep. And watch him come in and listen to the cheers and the roars. I wasn't there in 97. Always wished I had been. So I didn't want to miss the opportunity to be there behind the clubhouse when he walked up there this year in 2019. Really, really awesome. Never thought I'd see it happen again. And one of my favorite majors of all time, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I loved it when the guys were all there waiting for him, kind of welcoming him, saying welcome back. You know, I loved it when... you know, the past champions were there, Bubba, Mike Reed, that kind of thing. It was pretty cool to see as he came walking up to the scoring tent.
And by Mike Reed, you mean Mike Weir.
I meant Mike Weir, exactly.
Mike Reed's going, you had to bring that up. Dang it. All right, so let's talk about some of the other ones. The next one for me, and I know there's a lot of them, so this doesn't have to be in order, and it's certainly subjective, but I think back on the Henrik Stenson Open of 2016, battling Phil Mickelson. Yep. It was basically a two-man race at that point in time, but man, did they just hit shot after shot, blow after blow. I mean, if it was a heavyweight fight, these guys would be bloodied and barely standing by the end of this one. They just both played awesome, and it was exciting to watch.
You know, it was very reminiscent of Nicholas and Watson when they played at Turnberry. They called that the duel in the sun. Well, this one was equally as stellar to what shot 65 or 64, something like that. Henrik Stenson shot 63 and was able to win that one. So I really, really, really enjoyed this one. And I loved how the guys competed and played down the stretch. They didn't miss a shot. For the most part, they didn't miss a putt, and it was awesome.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, what else? I threw out a couple. Give me some of the ones that are on your list as you think back on a decade of major championships.
Well, I think, you know, I think 2015 at the U.S. Open when Dustin Johnson won, this was one that Shane Lowry had a four-shot lead at one point and gave it away. But Dustin Johnson, I think the whole thing behind it is he had come so close so many times in trying to win a major championship, and it looked like that finally this was going to be the one, and then the ruling and everything that transpired with that, and him having to wait until he got in to the scorer's tent before he found out. And Dustin, you know what? He put his head down. He He hit some great shots coming in and ended up winning that one at it was pretty good. Not 2050. I'm sorry. It was at where was it? It was at Oakmont when he won.
Yeah.
So that was Dustin Johnson at Oakmont.
Yeah, in 2016, right?
16, yeah.
Yeah, 2016 DJ at Oakmont. And, you know, yeah, as you said, the ruling and everything that went along with that, he really, you know, it probably took a guy like Dustin Johnson, who had already been through some controversy in majors, as you said, for him to be able to have the ability to make it through there. It was, that was one of, that the USGA would like to forget. They'd love to have that one back, no question. DJ, you know, if he had not won that one, boy, you know, that how much can one guy take, really, at that point
sure.
in time? So fortunately for the USJ, fortunately for Dustin Johnson, he went on to win that one. Not so fortunate for Shane Lowry, by the way.
Yeah,
but
he got his.
What else? Who else jumps out there? Where
okay,
do you put?
So the other one is going to be an open championship for me as well. 2015, when Zach Johnson defeated Mark Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen. The thing that was stood out to me on this one was just Jordan Spieth. Wins the first two of the year in 2015 at the Masters in the U.S. Open. He's leading going to the 17th hole, makes birdie at 16, leading going to the 17th hole, and didn't get it done. And then Zach Johnson gets his second major championship in that four-hole playoff.
Yeah, I love that one as well. How about when you think back on Masters, some of the ones that stand out, how about that Jordan Spieth getting his first?
Yep.
Back in 2015, he was runner-up the year before. Adam Scott with the Aussie in the rain in 2013. Steve Williams on the bag there. Those are a couple of the ones that I wrote down. 2014 PGA Rory of Valhalla coming up in the dark.
Yeah,
Phil Mickelson was playing. Was Phil? I'm trying to remember. Was Phil in front of him?
Yeah, Phil was in front.
And
of
he waved him up, right?
Finished in the clubhouse. Yeah.
Didn't he wave him up?
Yes,
because they were trying to all finish before it got dark, and they basically lit up the green for Rory to make that putt, and he did to go on to win. And it looked like he was just going to come flying and continue. But that was the last major that Rory won.
Yeah, 2015. Also, you said Jordan Spieth winning there at Augusta. The thing that stands out to me in that one was he led wire to wire and shot 280, tied Tiger Woods' scoring record. He bogeyed the last hole, or else he would have broke it.
Yeah. That's good. 18 under par. That's impressive.
Yep.
With a bogey on the last hole.
Yeah. And then finished. What did he finish? Second the next year?
Yeah. His record is ridiculous, at least up to that point in time. For starting there at Augusta. All right, let us know at Real Golf. You can tweet us out majors in the decade. What's your thoughts on that? Hey, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get more into the Open Championship. How's Ireland feeling a few days later? Greg Allen from RTE Ireland joins us next.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Tee it up at Uinta Golf with their sizzling summer savings specials. Look for hot deals on items like TaylorMade TP5 Picks golf balls, now two dozen for only $80. Cleveland CVX wedges for only $99.99. That's a $30 savings. And save up to $200 on Rogue Irons. Just a few of the hot specials you'll find now at Uinta Golf Shop sizzling summer savings. Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1970.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA member FDIC.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
Hi, fellow sports fans. It's Ned Siegfried. What would we do without sports? Following our favorite sports teams, whether it be the Jazz or the Utes or the Cougs, takes our mind off the many challenges in life. Accidents and their resulting injuries are certainly unexpected challenges that many people are forced to deal with. If you're one of these people, we'd love to talk to you about your situation. Call us at 801-222-2222. We'll talk to you for free. Or visit us at SiegfriedandJensen.com.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us as we look back at the Open Championship. Wow, what a week it was. And I'll tell you, I've mentioned this before, I find myself oftentimes looking at the big names and looking for the storylines that the big names can provide and the attention that they bring the game. Shane Lowry, not one of those big names globally, but on the island of Ireland, I don't know that you could necessarily do any better unless it was Rory McIlroy himself that went on and won last week. Having said that, what a spectacular and enjoyable Open Championship it was in Ireland. All hats off to everybody that put that on. Arne did a great job, and certainly Royal Port Rush, a great host for a major championship and the Open Championship. And to kind of put this into perspective, he joined us for a preview a couple of weeks ago, and I've been listening and reading his stuff over the last couple of weeks as this has transpired. But he's our good friend Greg Allen from RTE Radio there in Ireland. Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm very good, Bob, Brian and Bob. I'm buzzing, as you can imagine, in the week that's just unfolded.
I mean, I put it into words somehow, will you, on what that meant to the people, to the country, to have finally, you know, an Open Championship back in Ireland, Northern Ireland, for the first time in nearly 70 years, and then to have an Irishman go on and win it.
Well, I think it's probably best summarized by the reaction by newspapers and media here to what happened on Sunday. And remember, it wasn't just a win. It was a six-stroke victory. So for Shane Lowry to do what he did, the 63 on Saturday, but also to back it up with a 72 on Sunday in pretty horrendous conditions. I think of the last 12 groups on the golf course, Tony Finau's 71 was the best score. Shane Lowry's 72 was the second best score. He had the lead by four going out, so the pressure under which he had to shoot that 72 was considerable. So I think that's one thing to remember, that this was an extraordinary victory by a large margin. The reaction has been way beyond anything that we could have expected here. Golf is a sport in Ireland which occupies a territory that's called minority sport, but it's not a very minor sport as minority sports go. The big sports here are soccer, rugby, our own indigenous game, Gaelic football and hurling. That's two separate sports. And then after that, and horse racing would be in the top racing, top echelon of sports here. And then beyond that, they're called minority sports. But golf is at the very top of the next tier. This week, it was beyond that tier and in the top echelon of sports by a huge margin. Because the top half of one of our newspapers, the Irish Times, a very conservative newspaper, be a bit like the New York Times in the way it's presented, and older than the New York Times. The top half was a picture of Shane Lowry and the lead story on the news page. Can you imagine the New York Times leading with something like that? That's the only thing you ever need to know about how big this story is. And it's not just because Shane Lowry won. He won the Open, on the island of Ireland. And that is just astonishing as a story. The chances of it happening, whatever they might be, but he did it. And it's one of the great Irish sports stories of all time, full stop.
You had massive crowds last week there at the Open Championship. How important was that to the community and to the Irish people to have that there?
They could have sold another 40,000 per day. Those tickets were all sold for the first 4 days. There's never been a sellout in the Open Championship. 43,000 tickets, the first batch of 40,000 were sold out last April. And when they brought out another batch of 3,000 because they were able to extend the amount of spectators who could attend, they were gone within a day. It's hard to quantify the impact that it has had, not just in the island of Ireland, but in the region of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland has had a lot of community issues and obviously some very, very bad years for 30 years. And the Good Friday Agreement from 20 years ago, this is the first, maybe not the first, you know, really big event that they've been able to stage there. But it's a huge thing for Northern Ireland to have been able to stage a worldwide high-interest event like this. And the spectators who are on the course, the 200,000-odd spectators who are on the course, are only a part of the story. The worldwide audience is the biggest thing of all.
Greg Allen joining us here, RTE Radio in Ireland, and kind enough to spend some time. That puts it into some serious perspective. And again, well done. Congratulations. I don't think it could have been a better represented. I mean, from the beautiful weather that was had to even some of the nasty that rolled in, you needed some of that. It was proper, really, to see all of that. And at the end of the day, I don't know what the impact will be long term, but for me, sitting back here in the States, I looked at that and I watched that and it made me want to go to Ireland and play golf.
Well, the first thing you got to say about weather, if the Open Championship had ordinary weather, had 105 degrees or whatever it is they're having in Memphis sort of weather, it wouldn't differentiate itself from the other majors. Part of the reason the Open Championship is so compelling is the wind, maybe a bit of rain, but certainly the different climatic conditions that exist in the Lynx territory, you know, golf courses that are right by the sea, on that, you know, fescue grass, natural fescue grass territory of Lynx. If you didn't have bad weather, it wouldn't be different. It wouldn't be the Open. I think, you know, there have been great Opens, of course, without bad weather. But when you have bad weather, it's something else for the players to contend with. And, you know, when you see par being an absolutely wonderful score, which it was for the last 12 groups on the golf course when the really bad weather closed in last Sunday. That's really golf as it should be seen sometimes. And the difference between, say, typical US Open setups of the past is that a US Open defined par as exactly what, you know, the standard by which golfers should be judged at US Open. But at the Open Championship, if you get good weather, you can shoot a 63 on Saturday. And if you get bad weather, a 72 is a brilliant score on Sunday, which is exactly what you saw. And it's why the Open is the unique major that it is. I can't speak highly enough about how Portrush looked because it was an utterly beautiful golf course. I noticed Ron Green Jr. writing in Global Golf Post this week that if the RNA wanted to have a smaller rota, why not St. Andrews, Muirfield, and Royal Portrush? There's an element of truth in that, although I still think Birkdale has to be on every single rota, and I still love Lytham, so I wouldn't agree totally with that, but I know the point that he's making. Royal Portrush was a sensation.
Yeah, and the players seem to love it. In fact, Graham McDowell sent out a tweet or a message on Instagram or whatever saying that he has heard that it could possibly be back around in 2024.
Oh yeah, at the moment, the Open Championship is to return to Royal Portrush under the current contract, from what I gather, twice before now and 2040, which is about 20 years from now. And I think when they have seen what happened and the totally transformed nature of how the event was enjoyed by the crowd, there were Ryder Cup sort of scenes after Shane Lowry 63 on Saturday. It took the Open Championship into an appeal territory that really hasn't been seen before. And I think a huge part of that was the age grouping of the crowd, of those who were thronging the fairways. It was a younger-looking age group that was following, and I thought that was noticeable. And you could see that the RNA were beaming afterwards. All of this global appeal of golf that they're looking for, Portrush gave that in spades.
Greg Allen joining us, RTE Radio in Ireland. Okay, let's talk about the champion here, champion golfer of the year. I mean, I know there were those that put money down on Shane Lowry. I know he has had success. He's been around for a long time. But I'll be honest, he wasn't on my radar, and I didn't hear his name talked a lot about going into this week. Even when you talked about the Irish golfers, there was all about Rory and even some mentions of Graham McDowell and Padraig Harrington. But I didn't hear a lot about Shane Lowry. Talk to us about how Shane Lowry got to this point where he was hoisting the claret jug.
I think, you know, when you look at your stars of American golf, a lot of the time you focus, because you are Americans, on your own American stars. But if Shane Lowry was American, you'd take note of his CV in a very big way. He won the Irish Open as an amateur back in 2009. He was 22 years old. He approached a Golfing Union of Ireland official at a gas station. At the time, a Golfing Union of Ireland would be the amateur governing body of the sport. And he asked him, any chance that I could get a place in the Irish Open? Because the Golfing Union of Ireland had three places to offered in a professional event like the Irish Open. And he got one of those places, and in a field of 156 players, there were 153 professionals and three amateurs, and he beat them all. And he beat them all with rounds of 67, 62, and then in horrendous conditions, similar to what you saw on Sunday, he shot 71, 71. That was 10 years ago. That announced the fact that he wasn't your average amateur turning professional. The following week, he turned professional, and he struggled for a while, and then had one particular win under his belt in 2012. But in 2015, he won the WGC Bridgestone event in Akron. And he won it with an extraordinary performance on the back nine. And he didn't get nearly enough credit for that. The following year, he was leading by four entering the final round of the U.S. Open. And people will say, oh, he choked in the U.S. Open. He didn't choke. He was naive about what to expect. And he was very unlucky because he had to complete four holes of round three on the morning of the final day. And he didn't know what to do with the 7 hours between finishing his four holes and the beginning of the final round at around 3 o'clock. He had been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. And the previous night, it hadn't finished until 9 o'clock. He had about 4 hours sleep in his system. Mm. And it was all very unfortunate. And Dustin Johnson won brilliantly, as we know. But Shane was still in the lead with five holes to play. And he just says, I'd wish if I could turn the clock back, I'd love to go back to that 14th tee again and have a more positive attitude towards those last five holes, because he felt he was losing it because he'd lost much of his four-stroke lead. And the relevance of that is that 2 years of wilderness by his own standards existed in 2017 and 2018. But he came out this year, won a Rolex Series event, a $1 million first prize event in Abu Dhabi, and it was transforming him, that particular experience. He was third in the Heritage, and he led in the Heritage for most of the first three rounds and well into the final round. And in the Canadian Open, he finished second to Rory McIlroy. And then he comes to the – he also had the USPGA Championship, in which he was in eighth place. So if you look at his results, he was trending seriously upwards. He went from around 90th in the world to 33rd in the world, entering the Open last week. And you had to respect his credentials based on what he'd done this season. Even though perhaps if he was American, you might have noticed that more. Obviously, being Irish, we noticed it. But we also know that this is the guy who won the Irish Open as an amateur, a Phil Mickelson type of performance when Mickelson won the Tucson Open back in 90 or 91. Yeah. So that's the level of his talent. And I think anybody who saw him play saw that he loves the natural flowing type of game. He's not one of these people who's structured with a coach who tells him how to do everything. He just has a natural game, and he's a coach who prods him in the right direction. But basically, he's just a beautiful natural player.
Where does he primarily play? Does he primarily play the United States? Does he play in Europe as well? And what are his outlooks now for the Ryder Cup team?
Well, firstly, to answer the first part of that question, at the start of this year, he had lost his PGA Tour card. And this is one of the best things that could have happened to him. He hadn't really thrived on the PGA Tour over the last 2 years after the U.S. Open reversal in 2016. That forced him to take up his Europe, not take, but to be more reliant on his European Tour membership. Now, early in the season on the European Tour, you have the Abu Dhabi Championship, which is a huge event. It's a Rolex Series event. It's the same size as your average PGA Tour event. But by European Tour standards, it's a huge event. And he went there having had, I suppose, an ordinary enough winter practicing and wondering what's going to come out the next year. And he shot 62 in the final round, in the first round. And then he followed up and went on to win the tournament. And because of the fact that he'd lost his PGA Tour card, it forced him to start his season in Europe. And he had an experience which gave him huge confidence. That obviously was going to give him huge confidence. And from there, he obviously had the season which has led into what happened last week. Regarding his Ryder Cup hopes, the Ryder Cup qualification doesn't start until September. So he's still on 0 points, unfortunately. Mm. But, you know, given the form that he's shown, the consistency that he's shown this season, he's now up to number 17 in the world. Just so long as he doesn't have a hangover, as a lot of players do after winning a major championship, he has to have a great chance of making the Ryder Cup team. And he has stated, Bob, that this is his big goal for the next 12 months.
Well, my guess is he's going to have a hangover. It's just how long it's going to last, based on the videos I've seen on social media this week.
You know, I think Shane is a really good party animal, but he's got a big streak of discipline in him. You know, at Carnoustie, he was in the car park having missed the cut, and he cried. He admitted he cried. His game was at such a low ebb. And that was the point at which he said, I've got to do something about this. And he knuckled down, became much more disciplined, and he is really disciplined now. And he is a, you know, he's a smart guy. He also has a great team around him. He changed his caddy last September to Brian Martin, known as Bo Martin. He's a very gregarious sort of character and gets on really, really well with Shane. And they obviously have a friendship as well as a caddy-player relationship going on. But also, Shane is a coach called Neil Manship, who's our national amateur team coach here. He's the Golfing Union of Ireland, which is our amateur governing body here. He is their national coach. And Neil Manship knows Shane from when Shane was on national teams back when he was an amateur. And he's got complete trust in Neil. And Neil is far more than simply a physical coach. He's a very good guy. And, you know, between the years, he's a great coach as well. He's like Bob Rotella and Butch Harmon rolled into one.
That's high praise right there.
Yeah,
nicely done. Well, Greg, we really appreciate you taking some time to join us. I wish we had another 15 minutes or so that we could continue the conversation. But great stuff, great insights. Again, just nothing but congratulations. Everything about Ireland and Northern Ireland and Royal Port Rush and the champion and Shane Lowry, everything just went out, you know, so well. I don't know how it could have been any better. So just a hats off and congratulations on a terrific event.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be on Real Golf Radio with yourself, Brian and Bob.
Oh, well, thank you. Greg Allen joining us from RTE Radio. Just such a good guy and sits with us in the media centers at the major championship. Such a pleasure to have him on. And again, Ireland did such a great job last week. I can't wait for the next one. Short break. More Real Golf continues next. So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
And here's Ricky on 12. What a comeback it's been for him today. Pin placement is a little tricky. We're seeing something. Something is getting closer. Holy.
What the?
And that'll cost him.
It can be dangerous to drive while distracted. Yet at any daytime moment, almost 660,000 drivers across the country are using electronic devices while they drive. Join me and commit to always driving distraction-free.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
The new OGO Alpha Convoy golf bags set a new standard for what cart bags should be.
The new OGO Shadow Fuse 304 stand bag is ultra sleek, but there's nothing simple about it.
The OGO Alpha is inspired by tactical military gear and high-performance equipment from the outdoor industry.
While the Shadow's integrated design and finest performance materials work seamlessly to deliver absolute efficiency for unmatched performance.
Both are in stores now, or check it out at OGO.com.
You love crushing the long ball. Well, so do the pros. That's why they play Callaway. And that's why Callaway is now the number one driver on major tours worldwide. Led by the Epic Flash, with Flash Face technology, Callaway used artificial intelligence to completely maximize distance and deliver ball speed you didn't even know was possible. Basically, they used crazy science to solve very important things, like hitting more bombs. What a world. Go own the tee box like the pros. Build your Epic Flash driver today at CallawayGolf.com.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us again. The website's realgolfradio.com. Twitter handle at realgolf, and our other social media outlets, Real Golf Radio is how you can find us. Thanks for joining us on SiriusXM, channel 211, the Dan Patrick channel, or however you're accessing us from one of the podcaster sites or other radio stations, picking us up along the network. Thanks for being with us. Really pleased to get out to our next guest. He's at Memphis this week and covering the WGC event, but fresh back from Ireland, and of course, one of the great writers and commentators for Golf Channel, Rex Hoggard, our guest. Hey, Rex, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing well, and still kind of buzzing from that Open last week. I'll be honest, typically, and I've mentioned this to some of the other guests that we've had, typically I'm kind of, you know, enjoying the favorites when they go out and do what they're supposed to do or what we expect them to do and the storylines that come out of that, but I got a lot of enjoyment out of watching what Shane Lowry did last week, even though he wasn't necessarily one of the favorites we talked about going into the week.
Yeah, if you couldn't cheer for Shane Lowry, you're the tin man. You don't have a heart. I mean, that one matches up pretty well. I mean, for him to do it in Northern Ireland for 4 hours, you know, north of where he grew up. We all saw the celebration that kind of carried over into the week. He had to withdraw from the WGC this week in Memphis because the celebration, understandably so, went long, and that's what you would expect. And it was just a great performance. I mean, I don't know the last time I saw weather like that on Sunday at an Open Championship. We expect it. We shouldn't be surprised when it happens, but, I mean, it was really bad when he was playing pretty much the meat of the golf course. And for him to hold on, to go out with all those expectations, with a four-stroke lead, just like he was just a few years ago at the U.S. Open at Oakmont when he spit it up, and to get it done, that's pretty inspirational.
You know, you had Rory, and you had Graham McDowell, you had Padraig Harrington. You know, the hopes were resting on Rory, as far as winning the Open Championship there in Ireland, and Shane Lowry came around. He's really turned it around in this year, hasn't he?
He really has. I mean, and he talked very openly last week about sort of his struggles. I mean, even on the eve of last week's championship, Wednesday night, he had to go have coffee with his swing coach because he just didn't feel comfortable. He was anxious. He was nervous. And, you know, for all the reasons you could imagine, having the first Open in Northern Ireland, first time since 1951, all the expectations that he was putting on himself, because let's face it, I don't know that he had a lot of expectations externally coming down on him. So it kind of shows you where his mind was and how mentally you can turn it around so quickly. And he even talked about, you know, Sunday morning. He didn't know he could win a major championship when he woke up Sunday morning. I mean, he was still unsure. There's a lot of demons that came along with that loss at Oakmont a few years ago that I mentioned, that they were always going to be with you. And I think he just finally kind of came to the conclusion, I'm going to enjoy it. However it plays out, I'm going to give it my best effort, but I'm just going to try to enjoy it. And then there's a lesson to be learned there. I think it's a very powerful lesson.
Rex Hoggard joining us from Golf Channel right here on Real Golf Radio. I'm glad you said the enjoyment. That was one of the things I enjoyed most about it, was to watch somebody enjoy winning. I don't know if it's just that I'm having a Brooks, you know, hangover here, but man, that guy's won a lot of championships lately and really doesn't even seem to get his heart rate up. I just loved the fact that he was celebrating. His parents were celebrating. I mean, they just all felt like it was the greatest thing ever. And I guess to me, that resonates as that's the way it would be for me. And I think a lot of golf fans feel that that's the way they would feel if they had the opportunity to be on top of the golf world and win a championship such as the Open.
Yeah, I think Brooks goes about it in a much different way. We all know by now, we have seen him, and he does put this stoic exterior out there, and that works for him. I mean, you can't deny the results over the last two seasons, what he's done in the major championships. But I kind of wrote a column on Sunday night just about the emotions of the week, and obviously you mentioned and we talked about the emotions of Shane Lowry, and really the whole country, the whole island was celebrating and enjoying in those emotions. But it started, you know, first thing Thursday, when Rory tees off and he gets off to a terrible start, makes an eight on the first hole, and just all the emotions that Rory went through. And you can keep going down the line. There were so many people that were dealing with so many different things, and whether they were tears of joy or tears of sadness, whatever the case may be, I think that's what made it so special.
Is this one of the ones that, especially during the last 10 years, is this one of the ones that you would put up there in the top as far as open a major championship?
I think so. I mean, I think when you kind of think about the quality of the golf and you kind of look at it, and no, there weren't those heroic moments like Jordan had a few years ago when he won the Open Championship, or there wasn't the heartbreak of John Vandeveld, or you can keep going down the road. I mean, Shane was very methodical in a lot of ways, so I don't know. I would compare it from a quality of golf standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, or what it took, the emotional investment that all of these players and really the entire Irish Island made for Shane Lowry, I think that's really what did it. And I had really high expectations. I felt like, as you guys don't know, Rory's coming into scoring right now.
I was going to say, somebody, they looking for your autograph out there, Rex? They're all excited you're here?
That's not Rex. That's definitely Rory. and I kind of, I played Royal Portrush a few years ago, and I thought it was going to be a special venue, and but I still didn't anticipate the way it played out.
So this is the end of the major season. It's also the end of the, you know, majors of the decade. So that's kind of a popular thing this week, is to look back on all the majors. But just summarizing this year, how would you kind of rate it? I mean, your expectations coming into the season, and then, you know, kind of how it's all ended up playing out.
I think we had a little bit of everything, right? I mean, Brooks continued his dominance. He finished inside the top five at every major. Of course, he won the PGA Championship. He had a chance to win all of them. So I just think that was a dominant performance. They were emotional performances. Gary Woodland at the U.S. Open immediately comes to mind. I mean, a guy that we probably don't put on too many lists to win majors, for him to get that done. We've talked a lot about Shane Lowry and the emotion of that moment, and I don't think anything can compare to what Tiger did at the Masters. So if I'm going to start comparing major seasons to major seasons, I would be hard-pressed to come up with one that was better than this, as far as sort of spanning the spectrum of emotion.
I think that's a good point. And then you got several different years to look at. Certainly, what Jordan did in 2015, and even what Brooks did last year. And I think the 2016 Open for me always stands out. The Stenson Phil Mickelson duel is one of the more thrilling major championships that I can remember watching, maybe ever.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you can keep going back down the list, right? 2008 with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open on a broken leg, went to a Monday finish. I mean, that was pretty special. That's always going to stand out in my career. You can just keep walking the backwards. I mean, most seasons, the majors are what they are, specifically when you think about the Masters, because they produce these great finishes year in and year out. And you certainly have that. I'm just kind of taken this year with sort of the spectrum of the different champions, what they were trying to prove, what they achieved coming in.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. So what next, Rex? What's your thoughts? The players, with this new season, new schedule, does it feel like a little bit of a reset now and guys got to sort of exhale and try to gear back up? How have you felt the players this week at Memphis, coming off of the fourth and final major, gearing up for a WGC right now and then the FedEx Cup playoffs right around the corner?
I think everyone's a little tired, to be honest with you. John Rahm, who's leading right now, had a fantastic round today, but he talked about only playing nine holes this week, just trying to conserve energy. Justin Thomas was just telling us that he hasn't been able to stay awake past 8 o'clock any night this week. So I think there is going to be sort of this letdown after the majors, but you don't have a lot of time to take a breath. I mean, all the top players are pretty much here because it's at WGC and because of the importance of that event. And as you pointed out, I mean, we're only a week away from the start of the playoffs, and so you guys have to get right back to it. And when you think about a guy specifically, Brooks Koepka talked about it earlier this week, that all right, now you sort of sit back, you realign, and the focus is winning the FedEx Cup. And then once you've done that, then you try to figure out how you're going to pace yourself to December for the President's Cup. So there's still plenty of goals this year. The trick right now for these guys is just make sure it all plays out.
And that's basically why Tiger did what he did, taking the time off and getting ready for the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't blame at all any of the guys that skipped this event. It was going to be hard. It was going to be challenging physically. It was going to be challenging mentally. I mean, I can see it in the players' faces today when they come off. So I think it was a very good decision on Tiger's part.
Well, Rex, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Always good to get your insights. And, boy, staying warm to staying cool, huh? Talk about extremes back-to-back weeks for you.
Yeah, I had to go home and completely repack. Trust me, I didn't pack any shorts for Northern Ireland.
But that's all you've got for this week, right?
That's right. No pants.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Rex. Good stuff, buddy.
See you, pal.
All right, there you go. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Short break. We'll continue next. Hey guys, it's a great time to get into Barbecue Pit Stop, Utah's barbecue pro shop, and get the tools you need to up your barbecue game. Barbecue Pit Stop has the best selection of the best smokers money can buy, like Traeger, Yoder, Big Green Egg, Kamado Joe, and more, plus over 200 rubs and sauces, and lots of accessories. I know you're wondering if you really need another grill. Well, a smoker isn't another grill. It's an upgrade from your grill. I haven't turned on my gas grill since the day I got my smoker. Head into one of their three locations in Layton, Salt Lake, or Lehigh, or online at Barbecue Pit Stop.
Hi, it's Ned Siegfried. Siegfried & Jensen has been around a long time. We've been handling injury cases for over 30 years. During this time, Siegfried & Jensen has had the privilege of helping tens of thousands of Utahns. If you've had the misfortune of being injured in an accident, we'd love to help you as well. To talk to us for free about your situation, call us at 801-222-2222 or visit us at SiegfriedandJensen.com.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Make Uinta Golf the place to shop for dads and grads with their summer savings sale happening now. Go faster and farther with the new Callaway Epic Flash Driver with flash face technology for more ball speed and distance. Get custom fit for free today. And measure your distance with Bushnell GPS and rangefinders and save up to $70. Choose from the Phantom, the Hybrid, or the Tour V4 Shift. Uinta Golf is your place to shop for the hottest golf gear this summer. Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Hi, I'm Brent Brown. When I opened Brent Brown Toyota in 1999, I never dreamed that in 2016 we'd be Utah's number one volume new car dealership. And in early 2017, when we became the number one Metro Toyota dealership in the entire United States in customer loyalty, you can imagine how proud I was of my team. Simply put, no other dealer in Utah, or in the entire region for that matter, has as many repeat customers as Brent Brown Toyota in Orem. At Brent Brown Toyota, bending over backwards isn't just a slogan, it's our mission. And just because you get our low prices doesn't mean you have to give up on great service after the sale. In fact, people drive from all over Utah and beyond to get our incredible deals, and then they send their friends and family. You don't become number one in the nation by taking advantage of people and then never seeing them again. Excellence both during and after the sale is what keeps our customers coming back again and again. That's probably why Time Magazine recently selected us as the Quality Dealer of the Year for Utah. So if it's time to buy a new car, why not buy from the best? Brent Brown Toyota in Orem.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It's been fun. Thanks to Rex Hoggard. Thanks to Greg Allen. Hour number one, the caddies stopped by. If you missed any part of the show, you can, of course, catch it on a podcast site near you. Also, Twitter handle at Real Golf. We post all the segments and the interviews there available for listening conveniently anytime right there on our Twitter page at Real Golf. Give us a follow. Love to have you on board. Give us your thoughts. Tell us what you think as well. Would love to hear from you there. As we wrap things up, Bob, you look at these decade of majors. You look at the fact that you had two guys winning four, Brooks and Rory, with four major championships, Jordan Spieth with three, and then a couple guys with a pair, huh?
Yeah, Mickelson, Bubba Watson, two Masters, and then Martin Keimer, the PGA Championship in the U.S. Open. You know, Rory led going into the first half of the decade with four wins. Brooks Koepka finished out the second half of the decade with four wins, and Jordan Spieth right there in the middle, winning three within a two-year span.
That's pretty impressive stuff, but you were texting me the other day, if you want to think that's cool, how about what Tiger did in his 20s and 30s, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Tiger had won 46 times by the time he turned 30. In his 20s, he won 46 times.
That's amazing.
And then, as we know, he went on to win 81.
And counting.
And counting.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Also, hearty congratulations to our good friend Boyd Summerhays, his son Preston. Just about to turn 17 years old, he goes on to win a USGA championship, the U.S. Junior Championship. Wow. What a play. What a showing there by Preston, huh?
Yeah, U.S. Junior Amateur. The great thing is, you know, after he wins on Saturday, he gets a text from Tony Finau, FaceTime from Tony Finau, congratulating him because he's played a ton of golf with Preston Summerhays, and then also a text from Brooks Koepka congratulating him. So really cool stuff.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus had a nice tweet for him as well. Yep. I mean, really cool for the way Preston went out there and got the W. And his sister Grace, hey, hats off to her. She made it to the round of 16 in the U.S. Junior Girls Championship, and she was eliminated. But a pretty good week for the Summerhays family, no doubt about it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Again, really appreciate you stopping by. Hit us up on Twitter, @RealGolf. Website's realgolfradio.com. For Dave Glauser, our producer, who does a great job. For Bob Casper, I'm Brian Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the Open. Enjoy the WGC. FedEx Cup playoffs around the corner. We'll be back with you next week right here on Real Golf Radio.
Thanks for listening to Brian and Bob on Real Golf Radio. Join us on Twitter @RealGolf or on our website @RealGolfRadio.com.
It's been real.